One of the recurring critiques of the Cuomo administration's handling of the pandemic revolved around the information it released to the public, with complaints raised about the scope, quantity, and formatting of the data put out by his office and relevant state agencies, including the State Department of Health. Since taking over as governor, Kathy Hochul has stressed the importance of transparency, including with the state's pandemic response, and to that end has changed the way certain information is presented and recently unveiled a new website for presenting data. To assess the level of disclosure embraced by the Hochul administration as it comes to the pandemic, we're checking in with Tom Speaker, policy analyst for Reinvent Albany, which is all about that sweet, sweet government openness. Welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
So in the days that you've had to search the state's new centralized website for COVID-19 data, what conclusions have you reached about its usefulness to the public?
Well, I would say the strongest point of the changes that have been made is that all of the state's COVID-19 data is now accessible from a single location. When we were originally looking at what data the state was presenting, it was actually difficult to figure out what was even available because all of this information was scattered across so many different pages. I mean, there's a different page for schools. There's a different page for just the DOH's tracker. You have to find data about nursing homes in a different location. And now you can basically see just with one click at least what the state is providing, and that is hugely helpful. The state also went ahead and added some new data sets to the Open Data Portal, which is something that we have been pushing for. There's a lot more that can be added, but we were happy to see some changes.
And flesh that out a little bit more for people who aren't living and breathing New York data. What does it mean to say a data set, and what is the Open Data Portal?
Yeah, so a data set is typically a spreadsheet, a table, a chart that lays out certain types of information like COVID-19 hospitalizations by date, vaccination rates by gender, that kind of thing, and then includes numbers about those information in a cell next to the type of information that's listed. And so the New York Open Data Portal basically exists to collect the information that the data sets the state has created, from the Department of Health. It could be data from the police. It could be business contract data, and put it all in a single location. So back in March of this year, we started pushing for New York State government to make more of its COVID-19 data available. And we identified 123 data sets that it could potentially provide, which is only, a starting list. I'm sure there's many more. And at the time, New York was only providing about 14 as open data, and it had about 64, 65 other data sets that you could view on the New York State's website, but wasn't available in a tabular downloadable format that could be analyzed by experts or just the general public.
Yeah, right. And I want to hammer that point home. The formatting matters, because if you are presented a set of numbers that's just pasted onto a PDF, as opposed to numbers that you get in an Excel spreadsheet or some other similar format, it really constrains your ability to do analysis with those numbers. Theoretically, you could load up those numbers that are existing in like an image format and hand type them in every day, or do some other sort of way to get the numbers from one format to another. But this use of an Excel or similar formats, no free ads, allows people to draw actual conclusions about the state's response to the pandemic, for example, and lets us make better policy decisions in the future, right?
Yeah, that's right. So as someone who's spent a lot of time going through the state's data, when data sets are only provided in a PDF format, it takes a lot of time to copy and paste all of that, if it's even possible, or if you have to manually type all of it into a spreadsheet. And this, you know, can be very important information. You know, the type of data set that the state is providing includes, you know, what regions have been affected by COVID-19 the most, like what their positivity rates are, how many people have been hospitalized. And having that information available and in a format that's easy to process simplifies the process of identifying the problems that New York State is facing with COVID-19, and it helps the public to find solutions more quickly when we can find those problems.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Tom Speaker, policy analyst for Reinvent Albany. And you mentioned earlier that push to get more information available in a format that could easily be analyzed. How much of that data is now available in this new format in conjunction with the website overhaul initiated by the Hochul administration?
Yeah, so when we released our first letter about this back in March, as I said earlier, there were about 14 data sets that were being provided. We're still going through what's available because there is a lot, but it looks like now about like 35 or 40 data sets are now in an open format. You can get data about hospitalization and COVID-19 patients who are in the ICU, which was not available in an open format before. There's also information about schools and how many teachers and students have tested positive, all of which the state was providing in some format, but not in an open format that can be easily put into a spreadsheet. So that's all there now. There are some things, though, that still have not been provided. So, for example, like positivity rates by race or ethnicity are still not there in an open format, which is something that we think the state could provide. I mean, California provides it, certainly. And, you know, not having that data available makes it harder for the public and journalists and advocates to see what communities are being impacted the most and who's the most in need of help, basically. So that's some of what we'd like to see going forward.
Is there any data that you'd like to see that isn't even being published in an undesirable format that is just being withheld by the state altogether?
I don't know if withheld is quite the right word, but you know, it's possible that in certain cases, the state isn't even tracking this information. It's not always clear, right? So one thing, for example, is probable cases of COVID-19, you know, instances where someone likely had the disease but didn't test positive for it. That's, we just don't have any information about that currently. Any like records, for example, of what types of advice or expertise the Department of Health might have received, that's not available. Information on the logistics of contract tracing or like outbreaks by types of location. Those are all data sets that we've advocated for inclusion that we've never seen released by the state, and we're not totally sure that it's even being tracked.
So this wasn't the only transparency news that Governor Kathy Hochul made recently. She also signed two bills that made their way through the legislature during the past legislative session. One bill has to do with making documents that are going to be discussed at a meeting available at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting, with the one caveat being that the agency or government body only has to do this to the extent practicable. Another bill that she signed has to do with the MTA and the information that it puts out. Can you walk us through what that new law means?
Yeah, so under the MTA Open Data Act, now that it's been signed, the MTA now has 90 days to send the legislature a plan saying how they will catalog public data sets that regard how the authority is being run. Then they have to send that plan to the legislature, and then they have to follow the plan, and they have 3 years to publish all of the information that they're supposed to make available.
And is this something we should care about?
We should absolutely care about it, at least if you live in an area that's impacted by the MTA, because it helps the public in the same way that COVID-19 open data helps the public see what kind of problems are occurring within the agency and come up with solutions to help create a transit system that works better for New Yorkers.
Well, I mentioned the caveat in the other bill being that extent practicable language. I think in the MTA bill, there's something about the feasibleness of their ability to get out certain information. Are you worried at all that the amount of transparency will be limited by that kind of language and there won't be necessarily the follow through by the agency to stick with the spirit of this law?
Yeah, we'll really just have to see. The MCA has had a lot of issues down here in New York City when it comes to transparency in the past. But, you know, there have been some changes, and those could be very positive changes. So we'll really just have to see. I do agree that the language, to the extent practicable, has been a huge issue for the open meetings law, at least in the past. And that's something that we're looking at fixing going forward.
Is there an obvious replacement language? Because you obviously want to be cognizant of the fact that sometimes meetings are put together on the fly and decisions are happening last second. So is there any better language that could be used while not letting people skirt their responsibilities?
That's something that we are looking into, but it might just be if the best replacement is no language at all.
Well, we've been speaking with Tom Speaker. He's the policy analyst for Reinvent Albany. Tom, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.